Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Opening Perspective. My name is Zenda Brooke, and this is our debut show today on January 9th, 2008. I'd love to welcome all of you who are listening to our first show. This show is dedicated to changing the inner sense of hope and knowing in your life so that you are able to rise to the exciting needs of what our planet is going through today. Open Perspective is engaged in a thought-provoking ideas, conversations, and topics that open up each and every person to their unique and divine purpose. It is in everyone's divine right to experience the most joyful, compassionate, and loving expression of themselves, and many of us lose our ability to accomplish this in daily life. We all have moments of grace, of course, where life goes and flows beautifully and we do really well, but most often with the stress and hecticness of our lives today, those moments are contracted into very few and far between. It is our hope that in this program we will be able to help you to expand those moments into a lifetime of yumminess and juiciness. Now, I know that that's a great term to be using for your life. Yummy and juicy is something that we all really want. But I think that it holds the vibrancy of the ripeness that's possible if you have the right tool set and the right perspective, which is why the show is called Opening Perspective. So I am Zenda Brooke. And as I said, this is my debut show, and I am entering into a year-long commitment with you to bring you a weekly expression of new thought. But not just new thought, not just thought that you can have and hold, but thought that you can actually feel in your body, thought that is energizing, thought that will bring you a new way of thinking about the world. And in you holding that new thought for the world, it is in my hope and desire, and the reason why I'm doing this, that you will carry that forward to others, and that your expression of your divinity will be the exact solution that we are looking for all the myriad of problems that we've gotten ourselves into. I hold some unique perspectives about where the planet is today, and that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. But first, what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you a little bit of a history about who I am. I'm a teacher, a media producer, a life coach, and a consultant who primarily works with people in developing their internal guidance system, or their IGS as I like to call it. Now, if you're interested in finding out more about me, other than what I'm going to be saying here, bio, background, that kind of thing, as well as getting a download and an experience of the internal guidance system that I'll be talking about in a moment, you can go to www.internalguidancesystem.com. I'm going to say that again. It's www.internalguidancesystem.com. So I'd like to start this segment off by giving you a little bit of information about why I'm starting this program. More of a background as to like where I came from and why I'm holding this perspective, my history, and so forth. Now, in thinking a lot about why I want to be doing this program, and what this first show would hold, you know, I was a little leery about talking about myself. I don't want this show to be about me. However, what I really came to was that who I am and what I'm doing and why I'm here for the sake of what, so to speak, for the sake of what am I doing this, is actually a great context to begin with. So, my history is, several years ago, after the dot-com crash where I was the CEO and I was had a small design firm with four other beautiful people in my life. There was four of us all together, actually, not four other beautiful people, three other beautiful people. The four of us started this design firm, and it was our life and our passion, and we worked well together, and then the crash came, and we were all left quite disillusioned because this was our purpose. This is what we intended to do with our lives. We had big goals and dreams. And as that company came to a close, what I began to do is move back into my spiritual center in a way that I hadn't before so that I could find the answers as to what was up for me next. And in doing that, I came to the realization that our thoughts create our reality. And all the research that I did and all the where did I go wrong and how did I not strategize properly and where were my goals off and all of these kinds of things, as well as what is my new passion, the books that I was reading, the people that I was talking to, and the courses that I was taking all came kind of down to the same theme, which is our thoughts create our reality. Well, when I dug into that conversation with myself, I realized that the thoughts that I had were uncontrollable, quite frankly not what I wanted in any way, shape, or form, and not bringing me what I wanted in my life. And the more that I attempted to meditate and work on my thoughts and hold the focus that I thought that I should have in my life, the more frustrating and collapsing and unhappy I became, the more challenging I felt that life was, and the more difficult it was, in my opinion, to focus on the mind. The more I focused on the mind, the more I realized that my mind was a complete mess. Well, with that said, I also discovered this work that was developed by Abraham Hicks, which is an interesting group of people. You can check them out at abraham-hicks.com. And Hicks is spelled H-I-C-K-S, abraham-hicks.com. And they had been talking, this is about 1997 when I first discovered their work, but I really dug in about 2001, and they had been talking about what they called the internal guidance system, which is this actual, like, expansion and contraction in the body that's in relation to your thoughts. Well, I really attached myself to that conversation as far as in my own personal life. And I began researching and doing experiments with that for myself. And that eventually led to me teaching people about the internal guidance system. Now, the reason why I want to start off talking about the internal guidance system, this is what I do for a living, obviously, but it's really not the focus of this show. I do feel that it's a foundational piece that anyone that wants to engage in a conversation and be a part of this should have an experience of and a deep understanding of, at least in their own beingness, that it exists. You can go to, like I said, internalguidancesystem.com, and there we have a video, and we also have a series of videos on YouTube under Ahuma Institute, or you can look up Zen DeBrook. But you can actually, I'll lead you through a meditation, which is an experience of the internal guidance system, your IGS. And you can feel for yourself this expansion and this contraction of energy based on different thoughts that I give you. Now, here's the key. The deeper that I got into studying what was going on between my mind-body connection with the thoughts I was having, the more that I began to realize that there is a flow of energy occurring in the body, in everyone's body, that is leading us. It's actually guiding our thoughts and guiding our sense of purpose on the planet. And what I discovered is that a lot of people are disconnected from this. We've never been taught how to use it. We don't understand what it is, and yet it's occurring, this expansion and contraction in our body every day. In fact, we've relabeled this as stress, worry, anxiety, fear, depression. We've relabeled the constriction that we're having. Now, I'm not talking about emotion. I'm talking about the physical, health-based sensations that occur called stress. This person has anxiety. This person has depression. These are like chronic things that people get diagnosed with. These are actually pieces of their lives. Not this person's angry, this person's bitter, this person's upset. That's not quite different from what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the collapsed, icky, scrunchy, painful, pressured feeling that many of us walk around with throughout the day, either in a consistent way where our stomach is in a knot, in a consistent way where our chest is collapsed and we have anxiety, or in a way that it comes and goes throughout the day and we don't exactly know why. We get into a rush, or we think about our kids at school and what's going on there. We begin thinking about a work project and we get this feeling, and it's called stress. It's called anxiety. Well, what I'm discovering is that this is actually a closing of what I call the internal guidance system, and it in itself, the sensation in itself, is guidance that is to lead you out of the thoughts you're having that are creating what you do not want in your life. Now, on the flip side, desire and passion and expansion and ease and like a breathing inside the body and a flowing and so forth that you feel. As you begin to utilize this a little bit, if you play with it by going to the video and watching it on internalguidancesystem.com, what you'll find is that you can start recognizing what this is all about. And you'll find that there are moments where you feel open and excited and full of passion, and that is also guidance. That sensation, those desires, those passions are also guidance. So, as I discovered and played with this myself, I set up a series of distinctions on how this works, how to read the information that's coming through. You know, it's not exactly easy. It's a completely new guidance system. It really is. We use the guidance system of our mind mostly, but our mind doesn't have a guidance system to help guide us. That's why we're constantly looking externally for some sort of reverberation of acknowledgement, appreciation, other tools, more courses, that kind of thing, that'll kind of help us engage with our minds and shift our perspective and be in a different place on the planet in our own regular daily lives, you know. So the key is that I began playing with this, and the distinctions are great. Those are things that I teach and help people get into it. But what I began to really realize is that each and every person on the planet, you know, 6.5 billion of us and counting, are each being guided in a moment-to-moment basis into the expansion and opening sensations of our body if we let it, which reveals our divine purpose. And our divine purpose is that each of us has a different, beautiful, amazing part to play in the coming years in the solutions that we're looking for. Some of them are big, giant pieces of work that we need to be doing, and we can feel it in our body in the way that we expand when we think about doing certain things, the way we expand when we research certain information or hold different ideas. And these expansions are crucial and important. I call them openings. I call this expansion opening. I call the contraction closing. And this opening that occurs is directly related to the thoughts that we're having and how we fit into the divine symbiotic whole of human consciousness. And it's really about holding a beautiful perspective in your life. Because it's all about our perspective. We can have a perspective that life is horrible, it's ruined, it's miserable, we'll never get ahead, there's nothing we can do about our government, there's nothing we can do about the environment, people are not nice, we have to protect ourselves, we have to do what we need to do to get ahead and to heck with everyone else, or we need to help everyone we can, and that's still, you know, we need to help everyone we can and save the world and sacrifice everything, which is not true either, to create a new planet, and there's a balance. Not only that, but when we do get into action to do something, we don't know which actions to take. Oftentimes, you know, for instance, if you get into action with a nonprofit organization, there's a quagmire that happens because there's not enough money, there's not enough resources, people aren't trained effectively. People jump out into volunteer for organizations and then they find that, well, they're not quite as amazing as they had hoped, or they're not getting as much done, or the political body is stopping up what needs to happen, or corporations, or, you know, it's just, there's like this grind, and once you get into it, you can get a little bit lost in all the problems that are there. So as I discovered more and more and more, what's really going on in our body is that we have a source of intelligence, source intelligence that is moving us consistently, nudging us, little by little, moment by moment, into a new horizon, into a new perspective, into a new way of seeing things. And I looked at, historically, what were people who had moments of brilliance or who struggled and pursued some great invention or some great thing that they had to have happen. For instance, the Wright brothers in flying. Those boys, man, they just went off cliffs and they had different designs and ideas and they dedicated themselves to figuring out how to get themselves launched into air. And they failed and they failed and they failed, but there was something inside of them, some all-consuming passion that overrode all the failure. It overrode all the problems. In fact, it just kept them more excited. And that expansion in their body every time they thought about flying and every time they would come up with a new idea. So the way I kind of look at it is they would come up with an idea, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's going to work. We're going to have that happen. We're going to be able to fly. And they would go, and they'd bang and, you know, run around and tie things together and create wings, and they watch the way that birds do. So they came up with this contraption that flaps like birds do, not realizing that, you know, it's the aerodynamics of a wing that lifts them off, but really, you know, flapping. And they got their bicycle thing going, and they tried to get the wings flapping and crash. And then they looked at it again, and they'd get another opening of what was the problem. And it was in their thoughts that opened them, then their thoughts that opened them, new solution. Thoughts that opened them, they'd come up with a new solution, that they were literally breadcrumb led to the actual creation of our ability to fly. Einstein talks about divine inspiration in the body and how that led him. Many of the conclusions that people who are we see as brilliant come from out of nowhere, where they just have this opening of energy inside of their beingness, this expansion of beingness in their body, where they just know that this is the direction to take what they're researching, what they're studying, what they're creating. You, every moment of every day, have the opportunity to move through the expansion or the opening or the ease as you learn to use your mind in the perspective, you know, opening perspective, to discover what your passion is, that your unique contribution to the planet is. Each and every one of us has not just one life's purpose. We have 100,000 life purposes that occur throughout our entire lifetime. You may have 15 life purposes that occur today. It may be connecting this business deal to this other business deal so that something else powerful on the planet that can happen. It may be talking to your child about some new way of thinking about something on the playground that develops a human compassion inside of your child that they will then carry with them through the rest of their life. It may be smiling at the store clerk who's really having a rough day and they need just a little irk of human kindness, just a teeny, itty bit of human kindness to move them into their day and keep them going with all the struggles that they're having. In fact, most, if we're conscious and we follow the opening, most of our lives can be devoted to service as we're going about our normal everyday operation of our world. Most of it, if we're conscious and we follow the opening, can be led in a way of service and being part of a symbiotic whole. If you look out into nature and you look at how the symbiotic whole of nature occurs, if you're sitting in the middle of a redwood forest or in the middle of the jungle or anywhere out in the middle of nature, especially a place where there's a lot of life, I don't know if you've ever been in the rainforest, but I have, and boy, in 3 square feet, of jungle, there is a lot of bugs and life and creatures and crawlies and mold and moss and spores and bacteria, and it's incredible. And if you sit and watch it, it's like each little piece, you know, this bug comes and takes this little piece and this thing and carries it over here, and then they eat it and they go to the bathroom and poop, and then the leaf absorbs that and it goes into fertilizer and the worms crawl through it and mulch it, and nothing there is really calculated. How is everything on this planet in nature effectively staying in some sort of symbiotic, cohesive whole? Well, I believe it's through the expansion of their body in doing what feels most right in the moment. A deer doesn't calculate where it's going to find food. It kind of has this sensation of flow that happens with it. Well, we, each and every human on the planet, also have our own divine flow occurring in our body and with each other. Now, unfortunately, because of the way that we've had our school systems and the way we've been raised and the collapsing of our imagination and our creativity just because of the natural way that we have formed the systems of our planet, unfortunately, we have closed down our perspective. We have closed down our creative thought. We've closed down the ability for us to see with fresh eyes daily the life and the people around us. We've closed down the fresh ideas. We've gotten into a habitual rote way of being. And this show, the intention, is to break us through, to create fresh perspective. And not just fresh perspective for the sake of fresh perspective, but fresh perspective, opening perspective, that you can feel in your body, that you can hang on to and build upon this energizing source that's always happening inside of you. I want to be able to bring topics and conversation and ideas and guests forward that will allow you to expand your internal energy, your divine source of self, so that you can reach your own source intelligence and discover how you are a part of the symbiotic whole. I myself have been studying this work for a long time now. It's amazingly enough, we're going on 6 years. 6 years that I've been dedicating myself to this work and doing coaching and consulting and teaching courses and creating audio and just getting to the point where I'm finishing up a book on this, which I'm excited about. But it is a path. It is a way of being, learning this divine source of intelligence inside of yourself, which I call the IGS, Internal Guidance System. It is visceral and it is powerful. And it, on a consistent basis, leads me to understand your brilliance and how needed each and every person's brilliance is. And that the collapsed, constricted anxiety sensation that we're all feeling, all of us, I mean, I'm sure the Dalai Lama has a pretty expansive ability to hold open his source intelligence, his divine source of energy, his internal guidance system open on a consistent basis in the way that I've listened to him in lectures and his perspective on things. But I'm sure that even he has his challenges with the horror that Tibet is facing and with the challenges that his community that he's brought forward in Buddhism is facing. Even he has issues at holding open this collapsing that begins to happen because of our minds. And because of the perspectives we hold in our minds. But in general, even I and most people on the planet have this closed, contracted place of being on a daily, consistent basis. Now, if you think about the knot in your stomach and you think about the tightening in your chest that occurs throughout your day, that is all related to thoughts you're having, and if you and the perspective, the actual like story that you're engaged in with that, you know, if I'm late to work, my boss is going to be angry, and if my boss is angry, he's going to be hard on me, or she's going to be hard on me, and if they're hard on me, then I just can't take it. There's too many other things going on in my life, and I don't want to blow this job because I don't want a different job, or I'm working so hard and I'm not getting a promotion. The company I'm in is a dead end, and yet I don't want to go. I can't afford to go find another job right now because I've got too many bills and too many things. I can't take the risk. I've got too much responsibility, so therefore I'm stuck in my life. These are the kinds of thoughts that go through some of our lives that close us. We have lots of them around family and things. And out of this closing comes the anxiety, the depression, the malaise. And out of that comes our relationships with others. And you can see this effect of closing in the entire world, from a personal level in your life where you walk in the door and you're frustrated and upset and your kids are excited to see you and you just really don't have the kind of energy to meet them in their excitement. Or maybe they need a bunch from you and you're already tired and there's just frustration. To our community level, when you look around our community and how well our neighbors are getting along with our neighbors and how well we do on the freeways as we're driving around and experiencing each other and honking and so forth and closing, and somebody honks at you when you're sitting in a light and it doesn't feel good and you get that frustration or that shame feeling or that embarrassment feeling inside of your body, which causes that immediate closure, you know, to not getting something done well at work, to the way that if you look at your relationships and the people around you, just start watching the people around you and looking if you can see a tightening or a constricting energy about them. We do this when we're at work, all of our political situations we get ourselves into at work. And then the way our city is dealing with things, the way that people need different things, and they're all negotiating from a contracted place of not having what they need and fighting to get what they need. But all of it's got this closed sensation. And once you've experienced the IGS through the video, for instance, it's just really important that you go and have that experience, you'll realize that most of what's happening in our world is that we're communicating from this closed place. And from this closed place, we are actually projecting closure, projecting constriction, stress, worry, anxiety, fear, neediness, goes on and on and on. And it meets it with others who are like, wait a minute, I need to protect my space here. I've got things I need from the city. What about our school programs? You can't take that out of my budget. And you start looking at the way that people negotiate and everything's happening into the closure. And it all goes all the way up to our governmental body throughout our entire planet in the way that they negotiate with each other and trade agreements, and that there is it's a sum zero game. If you take from me, I have less, and it's all this closure happening. And I truly, truly, truly see in people who are working with this tool set, this IGS, that the more they focus on moving into the opening and staying open on a present moment-to-moment basis in the way that they're communicating, the more that others are opening, the more the solutions are coming forward, the more happy that they are, the more joyous that they are, the more compassion they hold for others. They witness the closing. Oop, I know that closing feeling, which begets compassion. And the more expansive things begin to be. And in that, solutions begin to take hold. It's very exciting. So back a little bit to why this show started, and the history that I have is with it, is that I found that I could coach people on the internal guidance system, and I could provide them with courses, and I could show them the way, so to speak, on how to develop this and how to use this for themselves. But when they got back into their daily lives, they had a little bit of an issue getting out of the habitual thought that they normally hold. You know, you get into a situation where it's really hard to see your boss in a different light when you've been effectively constricting around your relationship with them for years. It's really challenging to see how you can have any extra time for your kids. You walk in the door and you're exhausted, or you're frustrated, or you still have work to do, and there's all these things that need to be done around the house, and things aren't the way you want them to be, and they need your attention, and you start the guilt around not being a good parent, not spending enough time with them, plopping them down in front of the TV again, and that all starts the contraction. And it can be really hard to see how you could have enough space, you could have enough time, you could have enough energy, you could have a different relationship with your family, with your friends, you could have a different relationship with the government, with what our government's doing, with what our community's doing, with how our schools are operating. Everywhere you look, the closed perspective still exists, and what they were missing is the new thought, the new perspective, the one that opens them that they could hold. And it's amazing, because what I do find is when I work one-on-one with people and in small groups, group coaching and things, is that the moment they begin holding this perspective that expands them, it's as if this divine yes is occurring in their body. And that divine yes begins to take them forward into that happening. And you can't always see how it's going to happen from the moment that the expansion in the body from the thought holding the perspective occurs. But over time, there's like a chain reaction shift that begins to occur. And that chain reactive shift begins to bring forward different books, different articles, different people with different ideas. You know, the people around you begin responding differently to you because there's a different sensation and way of being that you're engaged in. And so the missing piece was a consistent fueling of opening perspective. And I really do think that if we can get out some opening perspective and bring forward people who are doing incredible things and do some coaching and answer questions from people on what's going on in their lives so that other people can hear how the opening occurs. I mean, you can hear it live, which is why I'm so excited about having this call in, by the way. I'm not taking any calls today because this is my beginning first show, and for all the listeners that are out there, I'm really grateful, and you'll get a chance to call in next time that I have a program. But I will be able to take live calls on this show. And from there, others will be able to begin to hear what this opening sounds like, when the opening perspective in the personal life happens. We'll be providing opening perspective to our political life, opening perspective to what's happening in our environment, an opening perspective on how different problems can turn into incredible, courageous solutions. One of the things that's really exciting that I wanted to talk about is that I have a belief, and here's an opening, here's the beginning of our first opening perspective conversation. I have an understanding and a belief that we are all engaged in a new frontier that's happening on the planet right now. And this new frontier is being forced upon us. And I'm quite happy that that's happening. I look at all of the challenges that we're facing in our environment and with our politics and in our school systems and with our children and with all of the various things that are occurring. I see that all as pressure that's creating our ability to wake up, every one of us. Everywhere you turn, no matter how you try to turn now, there's something, the polar bears, the change in the weather system, the way that the politics have been run lately and what's going on in the war, the various relationships that we're having, the economy, it's all kind of pressure to where you can't, there's nowhere you can turn to be distracted without the distraction being the problems that we're all facing. And that's a really good thing, because we really are ready for something different. I've talked to very few people, and not many of them have had the experience where everything in their life is going great and they're totally happy and there's nothing that they would change. Even if they're financially great, their relationships are great, everything is powerfully going well, they're still like, yeah, but you know, the polar bears are dying, or the kids in the inner city in my town are not doing well and we've got to do something about that, or the school systems are drying up, they're just not getting the kids educated the way that they need to be, my kid can't read and I'm struggling to have the time to help them. There's some little thing that really is important, and the more that you get stable in your personal life, the more that you look around and go, wow, you know, it's like Maslow's pyramid. And this pressure that's consistently coming at us is waking us up. I hold the perspective that this is one of the most incredible, exciting, pioneering times for humanity. This is the time when we will begin on a global level to collaborate. This is the time where new heroes are born. The internet, YouTube, all of the social networking that's going on, all the powerful tools such as Blog Talk Radio, which I'm on right now, that there's all these incredible talk shows happening and that this service is occurring for people so that we can get information out, moving us away from our mainstream media, having a hold on what gets said and how it gets said and what information gets put out there. This whole system is allowing for new stars, which we're already beginning to see happen. Right now we've got the whole thing happening around American Idol and that kind of a thing and who's the next supermodel, top supermodel and things like that. But as we're getting forward, we're also getting people that are coming forward and talking about new ways to think about our politics and new solutions for the global environment that we're racing through and new ideas around fueling cars. And we've got idealbite.com. If you haven't checked that out, check it out. It's idealbite.com, which is two beautiful, wonderful women who have put together ways that we could each, on a daily basis, make sustainable, simple little choices that will change the planet. It's a time, right now, a fresh, incredible, powerful time, where heroes and heroines will be made, where the icons of our future that we look back on and how we got to the solutions and to the success of paradise on this planet, on heaven on earth, will be made up of all these incredible people. And I would bet that you're one of them, in your own way, that you're one of them. You may reach 200 people with some message that's powerful over a 20-year period, and those 200 people exponentially reach out through email and phone calls and communications that they have live with people and their family members, and they spread that message, and that message shifts the planet. Think about the little things that really mean something to you, the little conversations that you've had, which have changed somebody's perspective or idea about themselves or encouraged them. If you think that that isn't like a pebble being dropped in a pond that's still, that ripples out and hits everyone around that person, you're wrong. Energy is energy, and if you invest a moment of encouragement, it also works the other way if you invest a moment of discouragement. But if you invest a moment of encouragement, that moment of encouragement, it ignites that heart and that vibration in that heart. You may not see it in the moment, but it does. And it also ignites the heart of the people around you that sees it happen. And it starts a chain reaction. Right now, we are at a turning point in the history of the world. And all of the tools are in place for this turning point to be a success. We have the knowledge. We have the capability. We have the tools for our own personal development. In the past, you know, almost 40 years now, some of the most incredible self-development and personal development tools have come forward, and philosophies and ideas around self-responsibility and authenticity and integrity. Some of the most incredible communication possibilities. And I'm not just talking about the internet. I'm talking about nonviolent communication and the way that we talk about one another, and the whole idea around projecting on someone else and taking, you know, responsibility for our own emotions, and, you know, moving out of blame, and all of this stuff that has been, you know, percolating is ready and ripe to take hold, so that we all have the tools, the technology, the ability, the information to create change. Now, the only thing that I see that could really challenge this, there's a couple things actually. One, competition versus cooperation. Competition was a fantastic thing. You're going to find a lot of opening, interesting perspective around this from me. I have a very interesting view around corporations and competition and where we are as a humanity, and I think that competition has really, it has served its purpose to be able to get humanity to the place where we can have all the tools that we have. With the way that our population has been growing, there were certain systems that needed to be put into place that would enable us to move this planet into paradise, into heaven on earth. The internet had to arrive, for instance. And then the internet had to develop. We'll just take this one particular goal of competition. The internet had to arrive. And that came from the governmental structures and the education systems and the need that was actually needed for war. You know, I heard on NPR the other day that one of the two founders talking around the internet and how the TCP/IP protocols got developed and why they got developed. And they really got developed because there was all these different global governmental communication systems in the United States that needed to be able to talk to one another, and then they needed a universal language so that they could all talk together so they could do better in war. And then they saw the applications of what that could do for universities. You know, and then a few beautiful, brilliant geeks inside of these computer labs and universities, they moved out, and they got totally excited about what could happen and started building things out of their passion, out of their desire that opened them. Okay, all of this, I mean, happens out of the desire that opens them, the creative juice of it. And they began to create things, websites and protocols and new languages and new possibilities and, you know, Flash and DHTML and animation and, you know, IP telephony and all these various things that have arisen over the past, gosh, 10 years now. That's all competition. that all began with competition, a new idea, a new feature, a new way of doing things. Now, it was really fascinating, interesting, and powerful also that the open source movement with Linux also started, where we had this collaborative open source, everybody sharing with everybody else the program. And that open source system also, we have found the collaborative way ended up being one of the most powerful ways for development and creativity to continue and to occur. And what we're seeing is the collapse of our competitive model and the beginning root of our collaborative model coming back into play. Now, humanity has collaboration in its genes, in its bones, in its cells. It really has it in its guts. We have it. We were collaborative when we were in tribal communication together, when we were more the nomadic thing, you know, system that we were in. And we've had collaboration as far as how many of the things got built that we created a long, long time ago. But then it began to move into a power structure system where it became more competitive, where it became hierarchical. You know, the Romans came in and they utilized the slaves to build their cities and what they needed. And yes, they provided a basic source of stability and structure that everyone could enjoy. And it was, you know, quite different from the hunting and gathering and ways. But, you know, as they move forward, but it became more and more competitive and things grew faster and faster. And I actually feel like it's been an actual blessing because there's no way that we could have continued with our technological breakthroughs that we were making and not have competition to create the structures that we need to support all of the life that at the fast pace that we were breeding and creating societies and people. And now we have it. And it's a proven fact that if we were to move into collaborative efforts, that everyone would be fed, that everyone would have health care, that everyone would have a quality of life that would be outstanding. And competition has actually become something that's destroying the planet because it's outlived its usefulness, it's outlived its human purpose, it's no longer a symbiotic structure that's needed to move human consciousness into the next level. What is needed, what is really, truly, truly needed is for us to begin to collaborate. And how we begin to collaborate, this is what's really, really exciting, is it just takes little things to make big things happen on this planet. Every single thing that you see that is out there in existence, and if you're sitting there and you're looking around you right now, there's hundreds of things that started with an inspiration, a spark inside of someone's heart and soul and mind that they wanted to create. That's a little tiny spark. And everything around you that you see came from that. And so all it takes is a little tiny spark inside of you, the desire to learn to collaborate over compete. And if you look, there's many ways that we go throughout every single moment of every day, you'll find that there's little ways of competing because it's in our society now, it's in the way that we think. From competing to get ahead of somebody on the freeway when the lane is merging and I just need to be that car, I'm not going to let you in. Even the guy that is racing up, you know, sure, maybe you'll let people in. This is what's kind of funny. Here's my thing, okay, that I'm working on right now, is that maybe I'll let the person right in front of me in so that we can keep the traffic flowing and everything's great. But, man, you know, the guy that kind of drives on the shoulder up past 27 cars and then cuts in front of you and doesn't wait his turn, I have a hard time letting that guy in. I have a hard time collaborating with that guy. I just have to let you know. I mean, to be really, truly honest, and I close every time. I'm like, no, you don't deserve. Okay, what's deserve all about? Where's my judgment coming from? Who am I? I don't know what this person's deal is. I don't know what, you know, for all I know, they have to go to the bathroom and they're just trying to get to the next exit as fast as possible. Most likely not, because I look at their faces and I realize they're just in their own competitive mode themselves. But interestingly enough, in that moment, I'm learning to collaborate. I'm really learning to, like, sit back, ease. It doesn't make a darn bit of difference if I let them in. I look around for ways that I can contribute and collaborate with others and not hold back my source and my gift. And I think that in us competing, if you look at the general energy of competing, what you'll find is that it starts off with hoarding and wanting to take. And if you want to start shifting our consciousness towards collaboration, then what happens is you begin to find little ways to collaborate, and that energy begins to ripple outward. And that collaboration begins to beget collaboration. You know, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I've been checking out the caucuses. I got a chance to go to Iowa and work for one of the candidates for the Iowa caucus and really feel what that was like. And what I found was is that there was this beautiful way of collaborating that everyone had. And I was sitting there, we're watching the media, and this commercial came on where they had one person that was actually checking out, was helping another person, and then that somebody would witness that person helping them. Like at the airport, someone would be helping an older woman pull their bag off of the baggage, you know, the baggage claim area, and that someone would witness it, and then someone else would hold the door for someone walking through the door with a twins in a stroller and that kind of a thing, and it would just keep moving, you know, on with another person witnessing and another person doing a great act, and that was really kind of the ripple effect, and it was amazing because it actually had an impact on the people in the room who were watching it as we're working on this campaign and watching media. It really softened everybody in the room. And it was such a prime example of how little messages, little ways that we can shift, little ways that we can produce, little ways that we can collaborate actually move energetically out into the planet. So this is a very, very, very exciting time to be alive. It is a very challenging time to be alive. There's a lot that needs to happen. We have a lot of work to do. But the thing is that the work does not have to be hard or challenging or difficult. It can be exciting and empowering and courageous. It could be the time period where every person on the planet has an experience of being fulfilled, of contributing. Every single person has an ability to build inside of themselves their own beautiful self-confidence that what they are here on this planet to do is being done. That's what's so beautiful. Could you imagine, take on the perspective of 6.5 billion people fulfilled and excited and happy and giving their gift? You know how you feel when you actually are able to go into a situation and provide something that is really beautiful and powerful that others need. And when you walk away from that situation, how incredible it feels to be fulfilled. That sensation in your body, it's intended now, over the next several years, for us each to step into that, to encourage that, to build that in each other, to acknowledge that. It is our future. The perspective I hold is that everything that's happening right now is to shift and shake and wake people up so that they can step into that place where they're giving their divine gifts, the unique, perfect, beautiful, incredible perspective that they hold and be acknowledged for that. And that there is always, in every moment, an opening available. There's always, we are never abandoned, we are never left with our mind and no opening and only closing. The experience that we're able to have of stepping into the opening is always possible and always there. And it's just a matter of finding it, of discovering it, of revealing it. And so my goal to engage in this program, in this conversation, and bring others who are doing incredible things. I've got some really yummy, beautiful guests that I am excited that I get to bring forward for you to hear about what they're doing and who they are and the perspective that they hold about the future and what they're actually doing. Because there's more amazing things happening on this planet right now than you could possibly imagine. If you've had any experience whatsoever with any Paul Hawkins work, he has a new book out right now which talks about the just thousands and thousands of nonprofits that are out there and agencies out there for change that are doing incredible amounts of work. We have everything moving forward in the direction. And now what's important is for you, each and every one of us, but you who are listening right now, because you're here right now, for a reason. For each and every one of us to discover our own opening, because it's in that opening that we are led in every moment to be a perfect perfect symbiotic order with the synergistic whole that's emerging of heaven on earth, paradise. And so paradise can be a pretty huge perspective. It can seem like a zillion years away when you look around at all the various things that are making you unhappy and closing you, and the way that you're thinking about it is like, we just can't possibly get there, which will close you. You won't feel that expanded open energy. Once again, like I said, if you haven't checked out the experiential work at internalguidancesystem.com, check out the video there so that you can have an experience of what I'm talking about, because that's what this program is going to be building upon. But start off with just the perspective of you being able to give your gifts completely, to understand them, to leverage them, to build them. And start off understanding that there is a future for you where you will be appreciated and acknowledged for the incredible gifts that you bring. And that those gifts will be built upon by others. That is what will be the foundation of this new paradise we're talking about. And it's already happening. There's this great person I want to leave you with if you're interested in checking someone out. There's a great new program. Here's just one example. This man's name is Van Jones. He's a friend of mine, a really good friend. And I am so in awe of what he's achieved. But he started off, I think, it's about 14 months ago. Well, actually, like 5 years ago, he started off creating this idea in his head with Julia Butterfly about being able to merge social justice issues with environmental justice issues, because they are inextricably related. They're caught up together, the social justice and the environmental justice issues. And so him and Julia Butterfly got together and they began talking about their various issues, because he was on the social justice side as the executive director of the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights in Oakland, California. And Julia Butterfly had just, you know, had been touring, coming out of the tree that she sat in for 2 years in order to protest clear cutting of the rainforests and the old growth forests here in Northern California. And about 14 months ago, he began a program in Oakland where he went to the Oakland community body, a governmental body, and he asked for a jobs training grant to be provided to get money to train people, urban youth, in green-collar jobs to retrofit the Oakland area for sustainability. And, you know, it's interesting because Nancy Pelosi discovered this program, and she called up Van and said, you know what, I want to take this to Congress. So they created a green jobs bill that's in the energy bill that got passed through the Senate and the House recently. And they set aside $125 million to do job training. Because you can't take a house, as Van says, put it on a boat and ship it off to China and retrofit it and bring it back. We have a lot of work to do to create sustainability here on this in the United States. And it's got to be done by the people that live here. And there's a whole new emerging green-collar possibility, which will help lift our economy up out of where it's at right now, create sustainability, and bring sustainability into lower-income families, and create a whole new possibility. Well, interestingly enough, President Bill Clinton and the Clinton Global Initiative discovered what Van's program was because it's brilliant. If you want to go online, you'll find out lots of information about it. And Clinton brought him to the Clinton Global Initiative to get $1 billion in committed matching funds to create a green collar class in the United States, which will retrofit the United States for sustainability. There's so much work to be done, and there's so much opportunity. And it's been in crisis throughout our history. You look at how we came together in World War II as a nation and where we were and what's brought us out of depression and what's brought us out of things. And what ends up happening is we bond, we build together new ideas, new technologies, new things come to pass. The opportunities that we have are astounding, and there are zillions, at least it feels that way to me, of incredible people that I want to be bringing forward. I'm going to be bringing up ideas and ways of being and places where you can participate and ideas and conversations that you can build upon, and I will also be making requests of you to talk to others about it and spurring ideas so that we can really, truly get to you living your destiny every day in many, many, many different ways, moment by moment by moment by moment by moment, so that we can hopefully inspire you to become a part of this incredible evolution that we're all involved in, that can be the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful experience that we've ever had as humanity. My stand that I'm taking is that we are at a pivotal point, and that pivotal point is exactly what we need. And we can all collapse into the fear and the anxiety, which is that closing sensation that's happening in the body, the closing thoughts. We can become hoarding in our energy. We can try to protect ourselves. We can, you know, ignore and distract ourselves from the possibility. Or we can get in gear, find thoughts and perspectives that open and expand us, step into those actions on a regular basis, ignite the hearts of others around us, move us forward into a new way of being that's never been seen before on planet Earth. We have everything we need. Everything we need to make that happen. I really, really see that. So for those of you listening today, I want to really thank you for showing up and checking out what I have to say. I am thrilled and excited to be here and to be able to start bringing forward some of the research and things that I've been pulling together for the past several years. And I am even more excited that next week we're going to be taking calls and start having conversations so that we can have this be an incredible participatory conversation, that we can start a movement that takes this pivoting point we're on and leverages it to a new future that we can all be actively engaged in. You can find more about me on internalguidancesystem.com. You can find out more about me through videos on YouTube. You can type in Zen DeBrook, on YouTube, and there's more information about that. And then also there's another website that I have, which is powermanifestation.com. powermanifestation.com, and my bio is there and more information about me. So if you'd like to do that, that would be great, and I hope that you come next week, 10 o'clock on January 16th is the big giant launch I'm very excited about, and I'm excited I'll get to take callers. Thank you very much. I'm going to sign off for today, and I appreciate everyone in the chat room. I'm going to stay in the chat room for a little bit longer here and go ahead and chat with you, and namaste. May you have opening perspectives all week long that excite and enliven your heart.